held for an additional 3 months with no explanation from the Russian captors. We will be speaking later on in the program with Keela McDuff with Greenpeace for an update on the Arctic 30. And the 19th United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the Conference of the Parties, or COP, is meeting in Warsaw. Protests are ongoing, although they again did their level best to make it impossible to get there. The conference, taking place in the context of the Haiyan typhoon in the Philippines and the effort on the part of Shell to reinvent drilling in Arctic waters, all of this comes together. If people did, in fact, pay attention to the connections between events and not simply the events themselves that pop and explode before their eyes, I think that it might be a little bit easier to understand and therefore act on some of these issues. First, however, the weather. Sunny today, obviously, highs around 50, and east-northeast wind, 11 miles per hour officially. If they took that reading at the airport, there's something wrong. Gusting up to 18 miles per hour for tonight. Clear skies, lows around 26, and east-northeast wind 9 to 13. Again, that could gust up into the 20s. For tomorrow, nice, bright, clear day, a high around 53, and still windy, but some of the gustiness dropping off a bit. For Saturday night, again, mostly clear skies, and still cold, lows around 30. For Sunday, bright day again with a high near 50. And for Sunday night, areas of fog later on, otherwise mostly clear with a low around 33, taking us full circle to Monday morning. For your alternative outlook, we have a waning gibbous moon. The moon is 19 days old. It's a flower moon in Gemini. The cyanotic people advise not a good time for root vegetables. If you could even get a shovel in the ground right now. Biodynamic advice, the moon in Gemini, it's in air, so it's a good time for flowering plants. So sprout seeds is one thing that you can do in days like these to keep your life green. The sidereal, the forecast mood of Gemini, barren and dry, good, yet it is good for promoting flower growth if you've got a greenhouse or a kitchen sink where you can set up your growing situation. That's it for the alternative, as well as the conventional forecast. We have news from around Cascadia. There is very, very important news out of Coos Bay. We're going to momentarily be speaking with Keela McDuff at Greenpeace for that update on the Arctic 30. First, this from Cascadia. The Jordan Cove and the Oregon lobby folks have been waiting and planning. It's finally arrived. There is a meeting that's taking, it's going to be, it's a town hall format, and it'll be at the Curry County Town Hall on Saturday, tomorrow, 2:30. The Chetco Activity Center, Wyden, is going to be there. The public is invited to come along and voice their concerns about liquefied natural gas and oil terminals, whatever form these things might take and whatever they plan to ship in and out. Nonetheless, there are foreign corporations lined up down the road for miles to try to get their hands on Coos Bay and use it as a terminal. It's mostly sand. There's a big sandbar there. There's seismic activity. There is a thriving tourist industry. All of these things are militating against citing anything like this, a terminal in the area. This is a chance to get people to show up, rare red or no LNG shirts. And according to Jody McCaffrey, it's a dog and pony show, a media event for the Jordan Cove folks. So it's more important than ever to come out. hundreds of people, if not thousands, come out to oppose coal trains running through the Northwest. The least that we could do is to get down there and support the people in Coos Bay who are fighting perhaps one of the last battles to preserve their coastal waters. And now on the subject of coastal waters, we welcome Keela McDuff once again to the KBOO Airwaves. Keela, thank you so much for joining us today.
No worries.
We've got some good news then. How many people are being released very slowly. Others having their stay extended. Is there any explanation forthcoming from the Russian government?
No, as always, the situation is fairly fluid and at times a little bit impenetrable. We do know that 29 of our people now have been granted bail. One, Colin, who's a radio operator, a lovely bloke from Tasmania, Australia, has had his detention extended. We can't seem to figure out the rhyme or reason for that.
How many did you say of now this?
Everyone but Colin, so far, has been granted bail. Not everyone has been released yet. I'm not exactly sure what the number is, but they are trickling out, and also we don't believe that if they haven't been released this morning, they're unlikely to be released before the weekend. So some will not be released until Monday. But everyone except for Colin, the radio operator, what's happened is that the investigative committee has come to court every day this week. They have argued for our continued detention. And in every case but one, the judge has actually disagreed with them and said that we must be released on bail. We're not even that clear on what exactly the bail conditions will be at this point. We obviously understand that people won't be able to leave Russia. We don't know if they'll even be able to travel internally, when they'll have to report, whether they'll have to stay in a particular place. So all of that's sort of unfolding as we speak. But for the most part, it is very, very happy news. And we've had some other good news today, which is that the International Tribunal for the Law of the Sea, which is the UN body that the Dutch government took a case against Russia to, have ruled in our favour, or in the Dutch's favour, saying that the detention of the ship, the seizing of the ship, and the detention of the activists is unlawful, and issued a binding ruling suggesting that Russia must comply with it in order to release both the ship and the activists. So on payment of a 3.6 million euro bond, but still. And that's going to be very interesting to see what happens, because as I think I've mentioned to you before, the Russians came out very clearly several weeks ago when that process was begun, saying that they refused to participate in or abide by the Law of the Sea Tribunal, even though they are actually signatories to that. So we are expecting them to comply by it. We know that Russia in the past has in fact written into their constitution that international law and bodies of international lawmaking are very important. So we'll look forward to seeing what happens there. But it seems that perhaps the tide has turned a little bit. Putin came out last week, although, in all honesty, Putin has said some very supportive things in the past that haven't helped us at all. But he came out last week and said that the cause that we were fighting for was noble, and that there should be clemency against the Arctic Sturgy. Again, the very first week, he very plainly stated that we weren't pirates, and then they went ahead and charged us with piracy anyway. So I'm not suggesting that that's going to be any practical help, but I believe it does signify a fairly monumental shift in the way the Russians are approaching this.
That's extraordinary. So Vladimir Putin said that the activist cause was noble.
Yes.
That's extraordinary.
He wanted to see us be shown clemency by the courts. He said that we had broken the law, and that you can't always break the law even if you're cause is noble, but he did say that, and I mean, again, we just wait to see what happens. In the past, even though he has said very supportive things, the investigative committee and the prosecutors have still come down like a ton of bricks, and some Russia watchers have suggested that that's partly the show, especially in the wake of Pussy Riot and the very harsh treatment of other dissidents in Russia, and ahead of the Sochi Olympics, that the judiciary and the government are in fact separate. It's a funny way to show it, I would suggest, but then I'm not an expert on Russian politics. But you would think that that would help. I mean, of course, we've also had the very own, the Kremlin's top human rights advisors and that body suggest that this was a bit of an outrage. And in the last two months, we've had everyone from Sir Paul McCartney to 12 Nobel Prize winners to millions and millions of people all around the world show their support, not only for the Arctic 30, but also for an end to this dangerous Arctic drilling.
So in the end, it the seizing of the activists and the ship backfired in that it's brought positive PR, as it were, to this cause. Thank you so much for that, Keila.
It's a pleasure.
It's extraordinary. We'll keep listeners updated and we'll see what happens with Colin. That's mystifying,
yes.
But there it is.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. We're speaking with Keila
McDuff
with Greenpeace, and there is a slow trickle of news coming out of Salem regarding what to do about the failed effort to compel Oregonians to basically dance with the devil by insurance, where no one actually needs insurance. We all need health care. I'm doing a bit of an investigation at OHSU to find out how many people there are between me and the doctor that I see. That'll be their results, so that will let you know. We've got Kevin Zeese with us this morning to talk about some of these issues. Kevin, good morning, and thank you so much for being with us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, looking through this, this has been quite a saga, and the public, as usual, has been led down some strange paths by the Obama administration's public relations machinery. Could you just give us an update on what actually is happening right now with this?
You're talking about for the Obamacare on the healthcare issue.
Yes.
I think what we're starting to see here finally is people starting to speak out for single payer. I was very pleased to see Jim McDermott and Bernie Sanders basically saying, I told you so. And I think we need more members of Congress to start to do that. And we also need more people to get organized to demand it. The problems we're seeing with the initial stage of Obamacare, the websites, really is a problem of a mistaken policy. It's not just a technical problem. I mean, you have now these four tiers, you know, platinum, gold, silver, and bronze, plans, and in each tier you have different insurance companies, and each insurance company has different plans in each tier, and you have 50 states with 50 regulatory approaches, and you have the federal government's thousands of pages of regulations, and so it's a very bureaucratic and complicated approach, and it's going to fall its own weight, and the kind of problems we're seeing now with the website are going to be problems we see throughout Obamacare as it's implemented and as it takes effect. We're going to see complication, bureaucracy, dead weight pulling down the system. And it's going to push people out of health care in two ways. I mean, the co-pays are so high in these most common plans, the bronze and silver plans, where consumers pay 30% and 40% of the cost of health care after they pay their premiums. So when you go to a doctor, you have to take money out of your wallet. When you go to a hospital, you take money out of your wallet. You're always paying more and paying more. It's going to result in people not using health care.
Why do you think, what really sticks in my craw is, why are, this is the elephant in the room, the proverbial elephant in the room, why aren't people talking about insurance companies? And I can't understand why President Obama would come out and express mortification and contrition about the mess, when it's clearly the complexity and the mess that the insurance companies that is causing this. He doesn't have to get elected again. He doesn't have to raise money from them. Why can't
he? Well, he does. He has a very big museum and Obama Visitor Center that he's planning. He has to raise a lot of money. So he's not done raising money. But I think he doesn't do it because that would be admitting that Obamacare, which is based on the insurance industry, was wrong. He took the wrong path, and he should have taken the path of a very simple effort. Rather than the 1,000-page bill, he could have just said, drop two words, over 65, make Medicare available to everybody. And then we could have worked for over the next years making Medicare better because it needs to be improved. That would have controlled costs. That would have covered everybody immediately, and it wouldn't have taken any problems as far as implementation goes. You know, Medicare, when it was put in place in 1965, 20 million people were moved to Medicare in 6 months without computers. They did it on postcards. very simple, very easy, and just, you know, put them in. And now we have this very complicated system with computers. We can't make it work because it's so damn complicated. So it's time to move away from this healthcare as a Wall Street profit center and an investor's delight, and move instead to healthcare as a public good for all people.
Kevin, thank you so much. I've got a lot more questions. We're out of time right now, and leaving listeners with the thought: what would it?
I urge people to visit popularresistance.org. We see healthcare as part of the resistance effort, and it's a mass movement needs to be developed, and we're developing it with a lot of other people. So, popularresistance.org. Sign up for our daily digest and our weekly newsletter. And I think you'll really be happy to get involved and get informed and get more active.
It's a wonderful, a wonderful resource. It's Popular Resistance. We can put a link to that on the website. Kevin,
well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with us
today.
Bye-bye. Ray of light on the single payer front. This has been at Cascadia for Friday, November 22nd, 2013. Sam Parrish engineered the show this morning. Thanks so much for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Radio is proud to help co-sponsor the Triangle production of American Fiesta, starring Gary Wayne Cash, a witty, hopeful tale of imperfection and acceptance. American Fiesta will take place at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. This Triangle production will run from November 29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.